Good evening, workshoppers. And I'd like to go ahead and start this episode with my deepest apologies. You know, we were supposed to record episode 165 last week, but unfortunately some real life stuff got in the way. Had to go through and push it back. Now, even now, we're going through and listening. We're starting a little bit late here on the Twitch channel. Work has been kicking my ass, not gonna lie. But I'm glad to go through, be back for this episode. But on top of that, have a little bit more bad news. Teased a little bit at the end of last week's episode that we would be having an interview here. But unfortunately, I'm here to introduce you to episode 165, the episode of Marginal Disappointment. And where I was in talks with Blizzard to go through and get, you know, developers as well developers on the show, but it ended up getting shut down from higher up. So I have collected your questions. I'm going to go through and hold on to those. I know we had a couple on Twitter, a couple on YouTube, and we had a couple emailed in. I'll be going through and holding on to those. So, you know, like I see, you know, Slackers here in channel. I'm sorry that I'm not going to be able to go through and get to your question, but don't worry. I'm sure I'm going to have the opportunity to answer some of those at some point if they don't already come up, you know, as we go in the future. But it was a decision that was made from higher on up. No ill will or anything like that. You know, PR, things like that. Change all the time, and sometimes you just, you know, they'll agree to one thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, their priorities change, something comes up, and they have to back out. But, you know, I'm still gonna go through, you know, try and, you know, do what I can as far as getting the best coverage of Diablo news that you're gonna find. And, you know, who knows? We long-term plans. We got, what, 5 months until BlizzCon? That's just a little time to wait in order to go through, grab an interview, at least, you know, corner some developers at a bar or something like that, not let them leave until they answer my questions. That doesn't seem creepy or inappropriate or out of line at all, does it? Does it? Nah. But yeah, so here we are, episode 165. We're now a couple of weeks into season 17, and I don't know about you guys, but I've been having a lot of fun. I unfortunately haven't had as much time to play last week as I did the first week going in. My goal was to hopefully go and like hit like Paragon 800. Haven't done that yet. But I also have gone through and cleared a Greater Rift 93, which is the highest Greater Rift I've ever cleared, you know, seasonal or non-season. It's just crazy going through in that Legacy of Nightmares. I didn't play around with Legacy of Nightmares at all after they buffed it in Season 16. And with the Season of Nightmares, it's just a huge power spike for the Necromancer having those two free ring slots. And I've been going through and doing a long Singularity, and it's been a lot of fun. Still getting used to the playstyle. What is it? It almost feels like you're playing like Galaga, because if you have 100 things all being thrown at you on the screen, and you're gonna die instantly if any of them hit you. So it's just a lot of running around, hiding behind your mages. But it is nice. I'm pretty sure that I can clear higher than a 93. I just haven't been going through. I've been wanting to level up my gyms, do some augments there. Played around a little bit with some Anarius builds. I've been trying to put together a Lawn Thorns build, though I don't think that I'm quite anywhere near the level that I need to in order to push with that one, because that is a... That's a type of build that really only works at the highest of levels, because you need the enemies to be doing a ton of damage. Or they need not a ton of damage, but the enemies need to have a ton of health. So that way they stay alive long enough to get those Dead Ringer stacks up to then be going back and reprocking out that Thorns damage. I would definitely like to go through and pass the question on to you. I asked on Twitter, you know, at the end of the first week, of, you know, how has the season been treating you? What have you been doing? Well, you know, what are some of your goals, your accomplishments? You know, we're just a little over 2 weeks in. And I'd like to hear, you know, what's going strong for you? Have you been enjoying the season of nightmares? Have you did you go through, get your galactic wings and you're set and done, moved on? I know, you know, Slacker Rise went through and responded back on Twitter, wanted to say that, like, he got a Primal Blackthorn's Notch belt for his guaranteed Primal for clearing the Greater Rift 70, and that about sums up his luck on the season so far. I've got an interesting story on that one, too. And then Kurova, another longtime listener of ours, RNG has not been kind, playing solo only as always, decided to play Necro, have the 4-piece set bonus but crap gear otherwise, can't get the tier 4, the Torment 4 done yet, therefore grinding on Torment 1 to get better gear and progress further, but I'll get there eventually, like in every season so far. Solo just takes so much longer, especially since the kill streaks end too soon for a solo-only player. Rarely will I get to 50, let alone 100. I'm sure that's one of those ones where it's just like the kill streaks as far as farming experience to get up there. Gearing up for Legacy of Nightmares has been very interesting in this season. I have dumped easily 20 to 30,000 blood shards into trying to get this stupid Requiem chest. That's probably hyperbole. It's probably closer to like 15 to 20,000. But I've been trying to get this Requiem chest. But Kadala, legitimately, I will spend 1,000, like 1,100 blood shards at a time trying to get this. And Kadala will only give me blue and yellow chests and maybe like one Chang's. And it's just so frustrating trying to go through and get that. I found one which I cubed, and I've had no luck getting an ancient one. And I decide, you know what? Screw it. You know, I'm going to move on. I have an ancient piece. I have the Requiem, which it doubles the amount of health and essence that you get back when using Devour. And then if you overcap with it, you get it for a couple of seconds. You get everything that you overcap by returned back to you. So that way it's easier to keep at max essence during those Land of the Dead periods for pumping out those max essence Singularity Mages. Ideally, you'll be wearing that and have something else in the cube. I have an ancient chest piece that I'm wearing for the damage bonus, which is like the best setup that I have at the moment. And so I just start rolling on Helms, so because I need an ancient Leoryx to go through and try and cap off a couple more ancients. And I think I spent maybe 250 blood shards on Helms, and I got an ancient Leoryx crown. Okay stats. Could have a higher base buff for how much it doubles the gem. It only rolled 77%, so I'm still going to go for that one a little bit. But it's just, I've spent so many Greater Rifts worth of blood shards trying to get this chest, and I don't get any chests. And then as soon as I switch to something else, it's just like, here you go, now go and spend more of your shards on chests. It's just, it ends up being the same. I think the only thing that I'm missing at the moment now is my amulet. I need an ancient amulet and I'm fully decked out. No primals, not running any primals. My Greater Rift 70 was a Primal Justice Lantern, and that, you know, that kind of sums up my luck so far on the season 17, how that's been going for me. I did find, I think it was a Primal Pig sticker that I just sharded. I was just going through and was like, yeah, whatever. And then I also have a Primal Focus. So my count for the season so far has only been 3. But like I said, I'll spend thousands of blood shards and get maybe 2 legendaries out of that chest slot. I've had no luck whatsoever for any of that. But we keep on trucking. We keep on trucking. You keep going at it, right? I know, like, just going through and watching Leviathan, who's been doing the solo self-found this season, which, if you're interested, is still going on. It will I will be hard to catch up if you haven't started yet, but if you are interested and you have been playing completely solo so far, it goes until June 21st to try and get those top spots. I know Leviathan and Tuba are kind of going through and racing it out at the moment, but Tuba is Tuba, and he does like top high-end pushes on every class. If he were to focus on just one, I mean, who knows what he could do with that type of dedication to the game. But Leviathan, I believe he's pushed like a solo 113 on his Demon Hunter, which is just insane this early into the season for a single solo clear on a Demon Hunter. But not just solo clear, but legit solo the entire season. He's just been using his time wisely, going through doing effective speed runs just for the experience, as well as decent luck for going through and getting his upgrades and such. But man's on a mission, and you can definitely tell that one. And again, one more time, westmarchworkshop@blizzpro.com. Let me know how your season 17's been going. Is it something that you've been having fun with? Have you been having great luck? Have you been having a kind of crap luck, like Slacker and myself? Let me know. Drop me a line. I'll go through. I'll be able to read your story here on the show. And one thing, I thought I remember going through and covering this on last week's episode, but I guess I didn't. Maybe it was something that I got stuck in my head. So forgive me, or maybe I edited it out, or I did it on the after show or something like that. But there has been some updates to the art book and the art of Diablo 3 that we talked a little bit beforehand. Now, last time that we talked about this, you know, mentioned that the foreword is by Brom and the introduction is being done by Chris Metzen. We have a little bit more of a finalized cover for that art book itself, as well as going through and having some new images added in, so that way we've seen some awesome, awesome concept art, as well as the style that they're going to be going for throughout the book itself. You can see kind of like the font type. It's got all these little runes and stuff that's going to be written in the margins. So it's going to be very much a nice thematic piece. So it's not just going to be pictures with text and description. Everything is going to go through and tie into the universe when it comes to this art book, and it's going to look absolutely amazing. There's no point in trying to strain your eyes either, as far as trying to go through and read the text that's on there. I forget the specific term for it, but it's fake Latin. None of it actually means anything. There are some actual Latin words in there, but they're put together in fake or false sentences. So it's there's no point in trying to figure out what that says. It's just complete nonsense. It's all jibber jabber is what it is. It's a nice little thing. They're still going through. They're working on that. Hopefully. We'll get some more information on that one as we get closer to the release date on that, which it still is set at November 3rd on the Amazon listing. But that, you know, if we go by the Book of Adria, we know that that got delayed by what, almost 2 months. It was supposed to release in October, got pushed back to December. They did have a limited collection that was on sale at BlizzCon itself. That sold out so fast. I remember there was a lot of people that were wanting to go through and get a copy of it, but that was one of the first items to sell out, at least one of the first Diablo-related items to sell out at the convention itself. If you are going to BlizzCon, if, say, that date does get pushed back, that, you know, that date does happen to coincide with BlizzCon, if it's going to be released around that time, I'm sure that you'll be able to get your hands on an advanced copy at BlizzCon itself. So one of those nice little added bonuses if you manage to make your way out there to the convention. I do hope to see you. Like we mentioned a little bit earlier, I think it was not the last episode, but the episode before that, I will be trying to put together some sort of meetup for the West March Workshop at BlizzCon. That we'll have more details for that one probably like October as I go through and figure out everything. We actually have the schedule for the convention. We know what's working out with the world of podcasts, the Con Before the Storm, all that such. Because that one, that format for Con Before the Storm has changed radically as well, since they merged with the Wowhead party. In other Diablo news, if you're still playing Diablo 2, or you're interested in possibly going through and playing some Diablo 2, good news, there is going to be a ladder reset coming up in just a little over a week. June 14th is going to be the ladder reset for the Diablo 2 servers. So if you want to go ahead and get a fresh start, I know for the past ladder reset that was back in December, I went and was playing a little bit. I had some fun. Got up. I kind of hit a brick wall when it came to the hell mode. I forgot just how much that you did have to kind of go back and grind in D2. But it was just like early D3. There was a point where you hit a level, you had to stop, you had to grind out some gear because your gear wasn't matching your level, and so you had to make sure that you had the necessary tools to push on. In D2, your levels mattered a lot more because of skill points, increasing your player power and such. Sometimes you'd have to go back and farm some gear and such. But, that's pretty early into Season 17. I'm not sure how much I'm actually going to be able to go through, check that out and play, if at all, for that D2 ladder reset. I will hopefully give it a little bit of a shot at some point, but it's probably just going to stay focused on D3 for the time being on that one. Something else kind of came up today, which I was not expecting whatsoever, and that is a little update that they did to Diablo 1 on GOG. For those that aren't aware, GOG has now released Hellfire as part of their GOG enhanced version of Diablo 1. If you're not familiar with that title, Hellfire was an expansion that was developed for the original Diablo, but this was done by Sierra, or I guess specifically as it says there, Synergistic Software, which was a development studio at Sierra, that they went through, they did it. It was not an official Blizzard product. It had a ton of issues in and of itself, but it was something that they went and added on. It added in an entirely new dungeon that was separate from the catacombs itself. There was a new class, the Monk, which had some interesting gameplay mechanics. It had kind of like a cleave when you use certain weapons, and so it would actually hit two squares in front of you instead of just the square directly in front of you. So you had kind of a sweep attack for going through and hitting multiple enemies. Some new items, some new spells, but a lot of it was just like reskins. So instead of the lightning pulse, lightning nova, you had ring of fire. Instead of firewall, you had lightning wall. Not anything too big or game changing. And of course, there was the bugs. There was a bunch of stuff that I remember. I never played it originally. I will go through and add that as a little caveat. My first experience with Diablo was Diablo 1 on the PlayStation 1. There's no Hellfire for that. And it was a couple of years later, afterwards, as I went through, I got a PC, started playing StarCraft, absolutely loved that game, but because of my experience with D1 on the PlayStation 1, D2 did not register for me until I saw another friend playing it, and by then, it was like late 2001, a friend was playing Lord of Destruction. Oh, it looks pretty cool. Oh, they've got a demo. Let me go on. I'll log on to the Ariat Summit, downloaded the demo for it, played as the Barbarian. You had, the Bloodmoor and the Cold Plains. And that was it. That was That was all that you had as far as the demo, but I fell in love. Instantly went out, bought it, had my mom praying outside my door, all that stuff. I'm sure you experienced that too with a religious family when you went and brought home a Diablo game. And, you know, like kind of like from there, the rest was history. But I went back and looked at, you know, what was it with Diablo 1? You know, why did I not like this game before? And in doing so, like, kind of went and saw, oh, there was an expansion for it too. Maybe if I tried that. And there was some issues because it wasn't an official Diablo product. And so it didn't have the same feeling. Like, in the new dungeon, the enemies, there was some issues with, like, the sound sampling. So if you were fighting a new enemy or using a new spell, the sound was noticeably different, like a lower quality sound. Of course, like I said, a lot of the stuff is just like reskins for the spells. Not that I'm sure that in, you know, like 1996, 97, I don't think that would have really been too much of a problem with the reskins as it was. There was some pathing issues. They never actually made it compatible with Mac. And if you patch your base Diablo game, a lot of those fixes never made their way until the Hellfire version because it was a separate game. It modded the original installation, and so you couldn't use those patches. And so I'll be interested in going through and trying out and seeing, since if you already have purchased, you know, Diablo 1 on GOG, that Hellfire is a free upgrade for it, so you can go and try it if you never have. And give it a shot. See what it's like. Yeah, that was one I was not expecting, and from what they said on the website, they actually had to go out and get specific permission from Blizzard to add this to the GOG version of the game. But apparently it was because a lot of people were asking for it. I want to say that's probably because a lot of people never played it. I'll be interested in going through and seeing how that works out, maybe giving it a try. But again, is like we're so early into the season that I feel as if I try pushing my focus in to try something else out, I'm gonna lose any of the gains that I've made so far in season 17. But we'll give it a shot at some point. And then we've got one other little final thing that I wanted to go through and cover, and this was a cool little project that someone in the community themselves had done. And there is a Reddit user by the name of Nelavok, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, that went and remastered all of the Diablo 2 cinematics. And so now they're all 4K, 60 FPS, and it's a completely just like mind-blowing, the side-by-side differences that they had for this. I'm not gonna go through and like kind of like steal from their thunder by going and replaying it, you know, here on the episode. It's one of the top-rated posts from the last couple of days, you know, on the Diablo subreddit, or you can just go and do a YouTube search, you know, for the D2 remastered cinematics in order to go through and take a look. And that was one of those ones that are interesting because I always remember being so impressed with the D2 cinematics, and even going back and playing them in December, and I was like, oh, these things are so beautiful, you know, like for their time. But then seeing them side by side, you know, with like kind of like a modern, more of a modern quality to it than what I just had, you know, remembered in my head, and directly comparing them, it was like, ooh, yeah, that, Those are some very like rose-tinted glasses. But even then, you know, thinking about it temporarily, nothing could compare to those Blizzard cinematics, you know, back in the day. Even now, like look at the World of Warcraft video that they just put out with Thrall and Sarfang. It's just Their cinematics team is the best. They need to go and make a Blizzard version of Advent Children. We're just gonna go back and make our own like full length movie. So I definitely want them to do something like that. Now that I'm going through and talking about that, I wasn't on the show notes, but I feel like talking about it now, is that whole Diablo 2 Netflix rumor. Still out there, still ongoing. Haven't heard anything new on it, but Netflix just announced a partnership with Wizards of the Coast to make a Magic the Gathering series. So there's someone there at Wizards of the Coast, or not Wizards of the Coast, there's someone there at Netflix that's actively going through and reaching out to these big gaming companies and, hey, we want to bring your IP, you know, to the streaming services. We want to make a show out of your characters, out of your universe. And that is awesome. That is just freaking awesome. And I, you know, this all goes back. Castlevania, 4 episodes, 88 minutes. That includes the credits. You know, it's like just mind-blowing animation for such a small, short thing. And, you know, it was just so impressive. Everybody loved it. The feel, the look, it was something that was done right. It's not, you know, Super Mario Brothers or Mortal Kombat Annihilation or, House of the Dead. We won't talk about that. It's nice that there is someone out there that does care enough about making sure that they nail that presentation, that they nail that feel. Obviously, it's still going to go on to, you know, the writers, the director, you know, the showrunner and such, which, you know, we know from some, you know, mishandled tweets, little PR blunders, that is more than likely Andy Crosby. And I really like the work that he did on Hellboy. I think that he could definitely fit in well with the rated R mature content of Diablo. Probably going to put a little bit of a humoristic twist on it, but could also go pretty serious on it. They just have to, you know, make Wrath into a 4-episode miniseries with full blown fight scenes and build up and such, and I'll be a happy camper on that one. That is more or less going to bring me to the end of tonight's episode. I am again very sorry about missing last week and kind of having to go through and do this interim episode and then, you know, everything with the interview falling out. I will be doing another episode next week. So we're still going to keep on track, so that way we're not affecting anyone's long-term schedules or anything like that. We will still have episode 166 on, going to try and have it on June 12th. Caveat, work might get in the way on that one, and so I might have to push it to June 13th. I will keep you guys updated on Twitter, so just make sure that you follow the show at the WM Workshop or myself at NineBallGamer for updates on that one. If things change, I will let you know ahead of time. I will record the episode next week, but there is potentially an event that will be happening next Wednesday that I have to be present for, and it of course goes, you know, well past 9 o'clock. We will see on that one. But until then, please, the question for the episode, you know, how has season 17 been treating you? Let me know what your luck has been. Have you had any epic finds? Have you had any painful deaths? For those of you that are playing on the hardcore side, drop me a line, westmarksworkshop@bluespro.com. You can also tweet at the show, which again is at the WM Workshop, and live stream here every other Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Might be some small changes here and there on that one, but again, just, you know, follow me on Twitter and I'll make sure that you're kept up to date. But that's always here at twitch.tv/blizzpro. You know, we will eventually go through and put the episodes up on YouTube as well, if you can't make it here for the live shows. So just do a search for Westmarch Workshop or do a search for BlizzPro on the YouTube channel. And of course, we're on iTunes. I think we're also on, Spotify, Stitcher, so many other places. I don't even know how many places that you can find the audio version of the podcast nowadays. And of course, you can find all the topics that we talk about on the show and more at diablo.blizzpro.com. We're even in game. We're the BlizzPro clan. You also join the Westmarch Workshop community itself. And by all means, go ahead, drop in and say hi at discord.gg/blizzpro. Not always there, but I always keep an eye on it. And if I ever see anybody in the audio channels, I do try to log in to go and just pop in and say hello to anybody that is going through and using the chat room there. I'm setting up a Discord server on my own for some side projects that I'm going through and trying to work on and move forward with. As soon as I have a little bit more free time, it's not going to detract from the show whatsoever. Some of it is going to be a little bit Diablo related, more so with a focus on lore than the news, and also working on a little bit of a Warhammer side project as well with some friends. If you're interested in that, obviously nothing to do with Diablo on that side or the show. Just follow my personal Twitter at NineBallGamer for more info in the coming weeks as I go through to try and get those up off the ground. But until then, you know, I thank you all for coming through, joining me here on this episode, and I look forward to catching you all next time.